The following is a presentation of Project Independence and WCWP. Project Independence is the Aging in Place Initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. We provide programs and services designed to assist and support the older town residents who wish to remain in their homes as they age. If we don't currently provide a service, we will try and connect you to that service. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome to Project Independence and You.
Good morning and welcome to Project Independence and You right here at WCWP.org, 88.1 FM on your radio. And WCWP Radio, if you want to download the app, and that works really well for this show. Today's show looks like it's going to be great. My name again is Rebecca Miller, and I'm guest hosting today along with Otto Lohs, who is the permanent co-host of Project Independence in You. And of course, Christina Liu, who is the incredible radio show producer. And our guest today is Jennifer Kona, and Jennifer is chair of the Board of Trustees of the Long Island Alzheimer's and Dementia Center, LIAD. So we're going to be hearing a lot about LIAD, we'll get some background on it, and then also talk about what's happening during the pandemic. How are we servicing people that normally would just, you know, either come to the center, you know, or have a different kind of contact? So I'm sure there's a lot of information there that Jennifer will provide. So I thought, Jennifer, if it's okay with you, that we would just start out, if you could give us a little bit of a background on LIAD, which is the Long Island Alzheimer's and Dementia Center.
Sure. Good morning. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be with you.
So
LIAD has been around for 30 years, and the mission of the organization is to make a life worth living for people with Alzheimer's and dementia. And we are the only organization on Long Island that provides hands-on care for people suffering with Alzheimer's and dementia and support services for caregivers. So we're really proud of the services that we provide. And we have a beautiful center now in Westbury. We were for many, many years located in Port Washington, and we had a fabulous, dedicated following of people and their loved ones. But we really wanted to expand the amount of people that we could reach and services we could provide. So 2 years ago, we moved to Westbury so that we could reach our tentacles out much, much further and bring more people into our beautiful center. And we also have a respite care program where we have our social workers, our licensed clinical social workers, go into people's homes to give caregivers a break. So we will take care of their loved one in the home and allow caregivers to get out to take care of their needs, such as go to their doctor appointments, grocery shopping, or take their own mental health break, whatever they need to do. And that is such a valuable service that if you are caring for someone who has Alzheimer's or dementia, you would know what an invaluable service that is. So that's sort of a quick overview of what we do. And as to our center in Westbury, when we moved there, it was an opportunity for us to satisfy all of our wish list needs and what we really, really needed. And that was done with the help of an architect who specializes in Alzheimer's and dementia care and in the healthcare industry, and feedback from our participants and our family members as to what would be great for their loved ones. So we have a state-of-the-art center where we have different program rooms for early stage, moderate stage, and late stage. And we have a recreation center. We have a what we call sort of a calm room center, where if someone is kind of maybe a little overloaded or just needs a break or needs a quiet room alone or with their caregiver, they can go in there. We have intake rooms. We have support group rooms. We have absolutely everything. And it's all laid out in a way that we keep our participants moving along so that they're getting some physical activity and they're getting constant stimulation. So that's keeping their minds engaged. We have individualized programming, such as music and memory, where we're tailoring programs for them. We have entertainment every single day. So all of this was such a great opportunity when we did move to, like I said, have this wish list incredible center that we're so, so proud of, which is amazing. And then 2 years into this, we're hit with COVID.
Right.
So, right. So that brings us to sort of present day, you know, what's happening now.
So, you know, with Project Independence, you know, we serve seniors and we have all kinds of programs. We also have social workers and nurses who do community social work and nursing. We have fitness programs, in-person classes. We have advisory committees. You know, we have all of these programs for seniors. And so I know when, you know, it was kind of like everything stops and it's kind of, you know, shocking at first. What are we going to do with all these, you know, seniors, you know, a lot in need? And, you know, we were able to kind of go to Zoom. We have a North Hempstead television station, so we're able to do a lot of virtual programming, and it seemed to really work well for us. Social workers, of course, and nurses are making calls and check-ins and continue their relationship with, you know, the seniors that they talk to. We have this great 311 call center where we get calls in and we can constantly be in contact. So, you know, at first it was shocking, you know, how are we going to maintain, how are we going to service, how are we going to continue Project Independence? And it just kind of happened, you know, with technology and social media and Zoom and the phone, we were really able to, you know, just continue in a different way. So I'm curious, because seems like so much of what you do, the in-person connection, is so important. You have such dynamic programs at LIAD. You know, how did you guys adjust, and what was that like in the very beginning?
It was like the bottom fell out of our world in the very beginning, in all honesty. And, you know, truthfully, when it first happened, we wondered, really, was this a 2-week situation? I mean, right. None of us really knew what was going to happen. And we kind of just shut everything down and said, okay, let's sit tight for a couple of weeks and see what's going to happen. And that was kind of the approach that I think a lot of businesses and nonprofits took, because this was novel for everybody. And then after that sort of initial shock, we said, okay, what are we going to do now? We weren't technology-based. That's the sort of exact opposite. Right. Like you said, we were completely all about the hands-on care and the personal touch and all of that kind of thing. So we had to completely retool what we were doing. And that didn't necessarily happen overnight. We really had to rethink right. everything we were doing and think about, how can we bring the level, the quality of everything that we were doing and pivot into something that we can still do? Because not only is there still the need, there started to be a greater need, because now you have people who are isolated. And that is absolutely the worst thing for somebody with Alzheimer's or dementia. The isolation, it has caused so many of our participants to go downhill. And it has caused people who maybe were just showing signs and symptoms of early Alzheimer's or dementia to escalate that condition. Right. So it has just been so detrimental to this population. And we have seen such a greater need for our services at a time when we were struggling with how are we going to serve our population. So it was really just the worst of all case scenarios. So we had many, many late nights about this, as you can imagine, to figure out how right. we were going to start to provide services. So, of course, that's our job. Pivot, right? So we did. And we started providing live stream FaceTime services, video chats, Zoom rooms, and we started creating. First, we rolled out what we could as soon as we could, and then we were able to start tailoring programs, making them more specific. We brought in certified trainers to do yoga by Zoom and FaceTime and all of that. We brought in a certified kickboxing instructor to provide those services, because it is really important to keep people up and moving. We brought in a certified meditation instructor for our caregivers. So, you know, we started pretty quickly offering all of these things online. And then we had to figure out, you know, how are we going to start to sort of package the services to make them accessible to people, especially for caregivers, to provide them for their loved one so that they can be there, because the caregiver still has to be there now in the home.
Right.
To offer them, tailor them for what's going to make sense for the loved one. And, you know, so we were trying to figure out the best way to make it accessible and easy for everybody. And the biggest challenge that we really had was getting the respite care for the caregiver, because.
Right. I can't imagine how that happens.
That was really the hardest part, because the whole, you know, a big focus of what we do is getting that respite for the caregiver. But under this model, the caregiver really couldn't leave the home. So if your loved one is on the computer screen doing, you know, whatever programs they chose for the day, the caregiver really can't most likely go out and take care of their own needs. You know, so if you bring your loved one to LIAD, you can go to work. You know, that's
right.
A large part of what we're offering. You can go continue on with the things you need to do, but not so when your loved one is in the home. So that was really a hard part of this for us. But one of the ways we are filling that gap is that we have a really incredible counseling service now. So the social workers are now accredited by through Medicare and through other insurances, so that we can provide individual counseling, family counseling for people who need it. And a lot of our caregivers need therapy. They need family therapy. They need, you know, individual therapy, and we can offer that now. So that that came in at a really, really critical time for our organization, because there's more and more of a mental health need for everybody, but especially for caregivers at this time.
It has to be brutal to be isolated in a house with somebody who you love and care for going through the whole process of the dementia / Alzheimer's. I just can't imagine how terrible it could be. It could be awful. I mean, it's bad enough under normal conditions. And to throw in this isolation of COVID, it's really hard to imagine how tough that has to be.
Yeah, it's really, you know, in my opinion, it's much more difficult on the caregiver than the person suffering with the disease themselves.
I agree.
You know, because you're really pretty helpless. You are struggling yourself, and there's not, you know, there's so much that you're struggling with, and you want to do so much to help, but a lot of our caregivers say to us they feel powerless, and that's a really bad place to be. You know, that lack of control.
Probably some caregivers are not technically up to speed either. So we're talking here, making an assumption that they're sharp on using a computer or a tablet or whatever, but there's probably a lot of people in that boat who are not up to speed, and it's even worse.
We have to take a quick break. So Otto, when we come back, we can address all that, and I have some further questions too. So we will be right back with Jennifer Kona, who is the Chair of Board of Trustees at Long Island Alzheimer's and Dementia Center.